and welcome to the Weekly Scroll Podcast. My name is Ryan.
And I'm any old twat from out of town.
And with us today, we have two very, very special guests. We have Luke Gearing and David Hoskins. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Yeah, thanks.
Solid, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you both so much for coming on. Like, this is one of those ones where I'm going to try not to fangirl the entire time. So it's been nice to talk a little bit before it happened. But you guys are, I mean, incredible. And we're huge fans. I can only say that. I'm sure Hunter says the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I've only mentioned Wolves Upon the Coast like four times this past week on the show. So, but I am currently running a solo game of it. So.
Literally so the good. Only thing that he's talking about, he randomly calls me like deep in the afternoon when he knows I'm asleep. He's like, hey, so I have this question about Wolves Upon the Coast. Like, what do you think? And I'm like, all right, cool.
But for
those that may not know, because their head is obviously in the sand, who Luke Gearing and David Hoskins are, who are you guys? What might people know you from? David?
Hi, my name is David Hoskins. I'm mainly a tabletop RPG illustrator. I kind of got my start just doing band stuff like flyers and posters and stuff, and then kind of slipped back into gaming, dove headfirst back into it pretty hard, and then started picking up some jobs. Like, I've done stuff for Hyperborea, then I met up with Jarrett Crater, who hooked me up with Luke for Acid Death Fantasy, which was just a really cool one.
So cool.
The Old School Essentials covers that are in the box sets, which was pretty wild to be there with like Errol and Peter Mullen. I don't know, a bunch of other odds and ends here and there. I'm also currently art director at Exalted Funeral. So we're looking to get things rolling and getting a bunch of cool new stuff out soon, hopefully.
And, incredibly cool.
Yeah. And Luke?
Oh, yeah. So I'm Luke. I do writing stuff for games, mostly like adventures and settings and shit, but there's the odd system every now and then when, you know, someone twists my arm. Been doing it for nearly a decade now, because it started with Fever Swamp with Melsonia, which is the same guys who did ADF, Swivers, Big Squirm, Wolves, like the big solo one, and now I'm doing a lot of Mothership stuff with Tuesday Night Games as well. So yeah, just chugging along, putting them out there.
There you go. And this is, I think, if maybe I'm wrong, because I know we have Acid Death, I know we have Black Knights, so will this be the third project you guys are working on together?
Sounds about right.
I think so, yeah. There's so many now. Yeah, so I like mentally go back.
I did some stuff for Mothership for the box set too. I don't know if Luke has anything in that, but I don't know.
I'm in some of the UCR stuff, so we'll have to compare notes and see which one.
Yeah, so maybe that.
I love that you guys have worked on so much stuff that's like kind of intertwined that you're like, oh yeah, maybe we have another thing that's together.
There's a ton of talent in that Mothership box set when that thing finally comes out.
There's a ton of talent in this.
I would love to have it in hand
right now.
Yeah. But you said that it was Jarrett Crater that originally introduced you guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
Old Jert. Yeah. Just had him on the show the other day. He's the space penguin and whatnot. Yeah. I've said this over and over again, and I feel like it's not an exaggeration that if you have something that's like in the indie scene, you got at least a 60 to 70% chance that his name is inside of it.
Oh, for sure.
Pretty close. Yeah. It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever, but it's
But it's Jarrett Crater.
But it's Jarrett, but it's less than six. It's like
it's Jarrett.
But yeah, he's a total titan. Absolutely. Wouldn't be here without him.
Yep.
And Luke, you've been working with Malsonia all the way back since Fever Swamp. How did you get linked up with Daniel Sell and Malsonia?
So way back when Dan Sell first started by doing the Undercroft, which is like a little 48-page, if that, zine. I've said it both ways, so everyone can be annoyed at me. I like Zine. People get mad at me. It's great. So he put out like an open call after doing the first Undercroft that was all like shit that he wrote. So I sent in my first actual published piece of RPG writing with them was basically like a stick figure that kills people that I'd used in my Call of Cthulhu campaign, but like set it up for the BX clone at the time. And then it just kind of went from there where I was, because that was just before I went off to uni. And I kept running out of money at university. And I was like, oh, I'll send Daniel Sell something for cigarette money. And that's how I wrote Fever Swamp. Where I was like, shit, like, I've got nothing left in the bank. I've spent all my overdraft, spent all my student loan. I'll write an adventure accidentally. And he'd be like, well, this is too big to put in a copy of Undercroft. So I guess it's its own book. And that was the first one. Kind of went from there. Ever since then, it's just been like, oh, here's like a Troika idea. And they're like, cool, thanks, brilliant. We'll use that. Or like Dan Sell will be like, hey, do you have anything for Troika? Could you do one? Which is how Big Squirm started. And somewhere in there, he agreed to do Swivers as well. So yeah, it's just been an ongoing thing for a while now. And sort of the context from there is how like mostly Jarrett then led on to sort of everyone else as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just needed cigarette money, so I accidentally wrote one of like the classic like OSR adventures that exist in the scene right now. You know, just accidentally wrote like a masterpiece, so it's fine, no worries. You know.
Yeah, because I say it was out of cigarette money, which is very funny. Everyone's like, ah, okay, that makes more sense now. Yeah.
Hard times was... call from hard measures.
Exactly. I was like, well, I'm gonna make it bigger so that Dan will pay me more per word. And he was like, no, like, you know, you'll get royalties. It'll be its own book. I'm like, oh, that's great. But what about right now? but yeah, that was cool. That was in my third year of uni, I think, finishing off the manuscript for that one. And then also working on Swivers, because that all kind of kicked off around a similar sort of time, I think. But kind of languished for a while. And then various shit happening in the background before ready to come out now. Yeah.
Did you say Swivers was like all the way back at the same time as Fever Swamp, and it's just been kind of hanging around since
it's only,
then?
It's only a couple of years younger. So I think it's like 5 or 6 years now, because technically I wrote the first stuff for Swivers before Blades in the Dark came out, which is a thing when everyone's like, oh, it's just OSR Blades in the Dark. So, well, actually, it's like a couple of months older. So it would have been about 2018, 2017, 2018. So it's all sort of similar time period. So yeah, it's been a long time coming. I mean, it started off very different. And it sort of grew as these things do.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I've read the quick start and the mock-up and stuff for Swivers, and aside from like thieves in a city, like there's really no correlation between that and Blades. I mean, my opinion on Blades exists on the internet, so I don't need to rehash it, but I feel like it's quite different.
Oh, I totally had a joke loaded up for this where I was like, oh, so this is y'all's Blades in the Dark, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not a huge fan of Blades. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, go figure. You know,
teach their own.
I've actually played a little Blades, and I had fun, and I didn't think I would. So.
How dare you?
That's it. I know. Yeah. Friendship cancelled.
There you go. Yeah. That's great. But so
really good, David, really good game master.
So. Yeah, that's what it, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to. It's my favorite. Oh, God. Okay. So the only tangent I go into about Blades is that any video I've watched of like the creator playing Blades doesn't play Blades raw. So like, I don't understand. But anyway, so David, one of the things you said, because you do the covers for the OSC box sets, and I also think I have some of your art on a t-shirt.
The books in the box.
The books box in the sets. Box.
The box yeah. sets have the legendary Aerolotus and then Peter Mullen on the front.
And you
the,
said like, you were
inners
chatting with like Aerolotus and Peter Mullen in that process. Like how was it to work kind of like in a group where you are working with a legend, you know?
Well, I wasn't working directly with them. I was just working with Gavin, but just to know that, like, you know, like the guy who painted my magenta, like basic box, you know, like I've got work in there with him. I've been on calls with him and, met him, chatted with him a few times. Super sweet guy. Never met Peter Mullen, never talked to Peter Mullen, but I'm a huge fan. One of my favorite DCC artists. I kind of consider him like one of the main DCC artists. I'm a big fan of both of them. So to get the work in there with those people was super killer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those covers are really very good too. I do like that they stand out from the box itself, but man, I'm a huge fan of the style of those covers.
Thank you. I thought they were a lot of fun to do. Gavin was very cool on letting me do what I do, and giving me the time to do it. I'm like notoriously slow. So like at working, cause I get very meticulous and very focused in on things. So, Gavin gave me the freedom to do a monster book with not a, like, you know, the monster book has like that wounded griffin on the front with like the elf kind of tending to it. I just wanted to do something a little different. So letting me do that instead of, you know, a big, you know, like, orc or Umber Hulk or Beholder ripoff or whatever, and like a bunch of guys stabbing it. Like, that's always fun, but letting me do something a little more whimsical was really neat. And that was a fun project, and the Blacklight poster turned out great. I don't know if you guys got a Blacklight poster, but
Yeah.
Headlight up there did a killer job. Super easy to work with. So if you're ever in the need of any kind of screen printing, I highly recommend Paul up there at the Headlight. I think they're out of New York, like upstate New York. But yeah, that was great.
And you said, or Luke said, that you guys got linked up at Jared Crater around the Acid Death Fantasy. But what was the impetus for Black Knights? Because I remember following like your Instagram and stuff at the time, and the art style you were doing with this. And then when this zine dropped, I was like, this is such a perfect pairing between, you know, Luke's writing and your art. So what made this happen?
That was just like every now and again, and I'm reaching that point now where I've been doing something like the same way, the same style. Like, I need like a decompress like project. And that's kind of what that was. It was just me like making blobs and erasing out like shapes. And then, you know, I also wanted to turn it into something. So I originally kind of sent it out to a bunch of people, like to write up like stats for these things, like backstories for each night. And Luke was the only one that sent me one back. And then I just got sick of waiting, and I was like, well, if Luke wants to do it all, like, and Luke is one of my, like, Luke, you're my favorite. I'll just say it. Like, you're my favorite. You're my favorite author. Like, getting to work on Swivers and reading Swivers, like, Swivers is a book that's, not a chore to read. When rule books are kind of like, you know, you kind of have to slog through it, like even the equipment section stuff is fun. So I knew Luke was going to do a great job with all and make them weird as shit, like all those knights. Like, there's, you know, the prize fighter, the guy who gets melted down and put into the orb, like that guy rules. The feasting knight is really cool. They're all really, really really unique and interesting. So
I feel like that's the best segue we possibly could have been given to talk about Swivers. You both have a project right now that's funding on Kickstarter called Swivers. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you do crimes. That's like the big headline.
like Blades, like we talked about.
Yeah, it's like Blades. You do crimes, except you plan them. No, it's
wait. I thought planning was all you do in Blades.
That's the opposite.
It's just reacting. It's like,
yeah. So the big thing with Swivers is like super rules light. Like, it started as BX and it's kind of become its own thing. But the like, for me, the big thing is it gives you a shitload of tools to generate your city. Because it's kind of one of those things that kind of waver back and forth on, where it's like, well, do you give somebody one specific thing that they can just use and it's ready to go, or do you give them the tools to make it themselves? And I think with a lot of stuff, I'll tend to go more one way and more say like, here's the specific thing. But with like a city, I think because you're going to be needing to improvise and riff a lot, you can't give everyone the whole thing. So it's like, well, if they come up with them themselves, then they'll be able to improvise a lot easier. So yeah, like for me, the big killer thing is like just a shitload of tables and ideas to just throw into your own specific version of the smoke, which is the name of the city. Kind of like a very anachronistic mix of like there's some Victoriana, there's like a lot of medievalism stuff in there, so the kind of time period's a little ambivalent. It's kind of where you want to put it. And everyone loves the blackjack magic, which is very fun. Yeah, Swivers it's not actually ended up that big. It's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. I think it's like 100 odd pages, I think, is what we're looking at the moment. But yeah, it's very good fun. Really proud of it. I think it's like
we love when books aren't that big.
Perfect page number or less. Let me tell you what. If you put out a 300 page book, it's yours, so I'll buy it. But like, it's going to take me a long time to get through it. You know. So it's one of the things you said mechanically, it's incredibly rules light. I think if you really look at like the core kind of rules, like character creation outside of like the actual classes, or like, you know, styles plus the three and the rules in combat, it fits across like one, maybe two pages. So much of it is the tables, where obviously like your ability to add flavor is insane across all of them. But what was, I know you said you, it'd been kind of an idea since Fever Swamp, but what was the impetus for using like that, making it like quote unquote rules light, or like kind of like a very lightweight system and the system that you chose to use?
So weirdly, it all started without Stars Without Number, which is the Traveler But BX thing. But is it Jeremy Crawford? Yeah, I think so. That he does. And I was running that for a while. And I was like, it doesn't feel right that you get more HP because it's sci-fi. And I was like, why is it right to get HP in any game? And that kind of started me down the long path of like, okay, I'll take BX and I'll just keep removing things until I'm happy, which is a thing I've since done again with wolves and all that. But so I was like, okay, first of all, like, we'll remove like gaining more hit dice. Like, your hit points only go up very, very slowly. Then I was like, well, I don't need half these stats, we'll just cut them out. So originally there was no intelligence, no wisdom. So it's like, I was like, no intelligence, no charisma. So it's like, well, we can just roleplay it out. We'll just talk it through, because that's more fun. That's how I like to run a game. We'll just talk it out. Use the dice if you have to. Then I was like, oh, we don't need wisdom either, because it's kind of just ending up as a catch-all for all mental stats. So it's just this process of like gradually boiling it down to you just get the core residue of what you need. It's how I've always run games. It's like, rules are fine, but they're there as a backup. If we can just discuss it like adults and kind of get to the result that's kind of mutually satisfying, just do that. That's way more interesting. Gets people more engaged in the pretending the fictional world exists. Otherwise, yeah, like, it's like, oh, but I have like a very specific memory of like somebody's partner was joining us for a game, and they're like, oh, I want my like pet wolf to jump up and push someone over. I was like, oh, well, you should make the wolf attack because it gets a free trip attack afterwards. It's like, who fucking cares what the rules say? Just let the dog trip someone over, it's fine. So I started with 3.5 for the most part. So I think I like radicalized me against all crunchy games, basically. It's just like one long reaction to that. It's just the way I like to run games, like less rules, more fun, basically.
I couldn't be more right there with you on that. The lighter, the better. Just get out of the way. Let me do the things I want to do. And how did, I know you, this is again the third project that you guys have worked on with this, but like at what point were you like, all right, David's the guy that's going to do the art for this? Because art style is insane. Like, it brings everything, all the writing, like perfectly to life. And I imagine in my head, like, there is no way I couldn't imagine like the character art that, you know, David has done in this. So like, what got you guys back together on this one?
I'm trying to remember how you, I mean, apart from serendipity, because it is perfect.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Russ Nicholson decided not to do it.
There was like, I think it was also on like Dan Sell's part, was kind of like, I'm not sure if it's like the right move for us. Because that was potentially happening at one point. But I definitely think we ended up with the better choice there.
Russ Nicholson is a huge shoes to fill. So I don't mind being a runner up for that. But yeah, no, I think it just ended up working. Like, I just really liked the original set of rules that Luke had put out, like the original book. Like, I'm a huge I like Warhammer fantasy role playing, the style of it, the aesthetic of it, I guess, which is kind of medieval with Victorian trappings. is kind of the way I've always seen it. Like, you know, the lowers are down in the dirt, and the uppers, even though it's medieval, you can still have guys with like pancake makeup and big poofy like wigs and stuff, and it just works. It makes sense. So I always like that. I loved Luke had a piece of art for the original set of rules that was it Gustave Doré, the despicable death of Savoy, or I forget the name of the piece, but it's just this dude getting like filled with arrows and this other guy coming through and stabbing him, like coming through a window up above him and stabbing him with a spear. It's just like this guy just getting lit up. So I actually did I just finished a recreation like of that original piece because I loved it so much, as one of the full pagers in Swivers. So it's got like a little homage to that old, I think they're all etchings. Cool pieces. So that kind of like set the tone, and like I like that it was human centric with like rat men. I'm a big Lankmar guy too. Like I love Fritz Lieber and all that. So it was very like, it kind of just hit on all these things. I hate drawing buildings, so that's been a thing. But you know, you gotta,
I mean, like, they look great, you know.
Thank you. They take way too long. Everything takes way too long with me, like especially with this one, because like the first pieces I did, I was also looking at like a lot of Barry Windsor Smith recently, past few years, and I wanted to not use gray. I wanted to just make a bunch of lines to like create gray. Like those, like I was looking at like a lot of etchings as well. And it ended up, you know, if you can't just do a gray wash, you have to do it all in lines, and you can't just do straight lines. So like a lot of the times you can't just do straight lines. Some people can pull it off, but like, you know, you kind of have to do contour lines. So it's just like a lot of lines. Every piece has so many lines, and I'm really kicking myself for that, because I'm already slow and it slowed me down considerably. So I've been doing art for this project on and off for like 2 years or something at this point.
I think visually, though, I mean, the one of the pieces that really stood out to me is in the quick start on page like 7 or 8-ish, where it's the guy like pinching his nose and throwing a coin to the other guy, and the other guy's got a dagger behind his back. Which is by itself a really great piece, but the background has those like almost like the etching style, like lines all across. I was like, man, I know that took a minute.
Yeah.
It looks great. I mean, I love the way visually it comes across, but
yeah, I don't know if the one that everyone has seen has like, there's one with a person like running and jumping across rooftops, like, and there's like a bigger building in the background and stuff. That one was really tough. And then there's another one. There's another really good building in the estate for the adventure, which I don't think anybody's seen that yet, but the adventure's got a really great, like throw you in the middle of a situation. Like you're trying to rob a place and you get put in the middle of like a situation in the place you're trying to rob. But there's like a good drawing of the estate where I went in, I just like every blade of grass and every leaf, I really got in there. And that one turned out really good, but that's also another one that like, when you see it, it's going to probably be this big on a page. But it has like 800 hours worth of work or something stupid in it.
I mean, stuff like that though, that's the reason that you're in a box set with like Errol Otis and Peter Mullen, you know what I mean? Because like the guys that you look up to, I'm sure there's people out there right now, they're like, fuck, like David Hoskins, like they see your work as the same as theirs, you know? And it's so crazy good. Like everything that's in the quick start and plus your work otherwise, but like the attention to detail is so evident. But there's also, especially in Swivers, and I don't know, like maybe I'm just, you know, pulling stuff out of my ass here, but there's this like, I don't know, like underlying like malevolence to like everybody's features, like across the entire thing, where it's just like,
that's intentional.
Everybody
is a piece of shit, right? Like,
yeah,
people down here are a piece of shit, and the people that are up top are, they got there because they're pieces of shit. So like, that's just sort of the setting, you know, like, and it's, but it's all it's all funny too, because it, like it's same with Warhammer Fantasy, right? Like the classic stuff, like when you read first and second edition, like in particular, like it's all very like sarcastically like shitty, like it's
mud,
all,
blood and shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's not grim and shitty, like, you know, it's fun and shitty, I guess is a good way to put it.
I mean, again, it comes through so evidently in the art and in the attention to detail. It's even the piece. So there's a piece, I don't, you probably can't see it, but above you, it's like the piece that's basically the header for the Kickstarter page. And just zooming in on that, not even needed to zoom in, but like the time, the attention to detail, the lines, everything on that is, it's insane. And the fact that there's gonna be 100 pages that's like all filled with like just your art, because I love when there's like a bunch of artists in the book, but like
all the art in it is yours. I wouldn't call it filled. Yeah.
Every single page, I'm guaranteeing it right now. No, but just the fact that it's like just you on throughout the entire book, like, and this consistency to style and the attention to detail and all of it, like this is, and the cover is absolutely stunning. I mean, again, like being able to read this, what, again, Luke's incredible writing, and then have your work just be so perfect for it. Like this book, without even having it in hand yet, is already like one of my favorites. Like it's absolutely fantastic. And again, the attention to the flavor, the art, the writing, like everything is stunning.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's easy when you got like, when you've got such good source material, like it really, you know, like I said before, like even the equipment section has like somebody giving like a commentary on the piece of equipment, like what it's good for, you know, like a crowbar, you know, it's like, get you out of a pinch, eh? Like, I don't know. Luke can do some of that probably a bit better than
I think, because it was like, because a lot of it was like written with my mate Dan. So a lot of it was like, just for me, like a lot of the starting places, like, oh well, that's kind of funny, like in a lot of the work I do, like, oh, that's funny from like a perspective. So I think like, because it was working like with my mate, it was like we went more into that, like, oh, it's funny, like it's just kind of meant to be funny, which is why like everything has that kind of sense of tone and that kind of sense of like, oh, this is a person talking to you. And then like you said before, like, because robots can be so fucking boring, I was like, well, what if one was fun, like let's try that. Which I hopefully works. I mean, it makes me laugh.
the halberd, right? Like that's, I think that that's a Swiss weapon or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so like in the description for the halberd, it's like, this is really great, but it's from the continent. So like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can be seen with that. It's from those people from the continent brought it over.
Yeah, so like it's like definitely
that funny cynicism.
Yeah, like it's definitely poking a lot of fun at like a lot of the like examined and unexamined like biases in like British culture. Like there's a lot of like use of the term like foreigner, which is like, it's almost like spat when someone's like, oh, they're a foreigner, and it's like, that's fucking ridiculous, like grow up. So like it's kind of is very much the like, where you elevate it to the point where like you can only see the fact that it's ridiculous and it becomes funny despite like originating in that kind of horrid thing. Just because there's so much like British nationalism around like the history stuff, and it's kind of just like, it's just the same as anywhere else, like a bunch of like rich kings and shit getting people to kill each other, like,
yeah, a bunch of really rich terrible people in charge making people do terrible things around them. Yeah
like it's not, we're not special, like it's the same as everywhere else, we've just been doing it a bit longer than some places. So like a lot of it's kind of, yeah, trying to deconstruct some of that and like kind of, yeah, turn it into like kind of a farce, like a parody. Like some of the shit was like, oh, what's the war? And it's like, oh, it's like, it's the Scottish Rebellion, or like, oh, it's Napoleon, like a couple of hundred years early or whatever. Like it's all meant to be kind of riffs on that, which is like fun, I think, anyway. Enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, there's a distinct like Britishness to this, obviously. And I can only assume it's, because that's where you're from. But was like, I know there, like you said, there's like a mix kind of like the time period. Was that always the idea to have it be this kind of anachronisms like throughout it, with like this kind of general sense of the pastishness in it, but like what, or has that kind of evolved as you were writing with Dan and getting the art and stuff?
So originally it was meant to be more like strictly medieval, just because I hate steampunk. It makes me lose my shit. So I was like, I don't want it to be steampunk. That's rule one, no steampunk. And then it is kind of, as I was doing more and more research, I was like, well, yeah, but you want to have coppers in there. It's a crime game, so you kind of have to have coppers. And I was like, well, okay, they're super late as an innovation. Like, you know, police weren't invented till 18-something. So it's like, okay, we'll bring those back. And then it's kind of like, well, we kind of want to have more of a kind of like, not quite landed aristocracy, but like nobility. So I kind of bring some stuff back, and it's kind of as from like an established base of like, oh, it's medieval, and then like kind of just taking more and more, bringing it backwards. But being deliberate about the elements that I'm trying to bring back, like kind of, even if it's not in the text, like somewhere I've acknowledged, at least to myself, it's like, okay, that's super anachronistic. That's like not at all of the time, but like it makes it more entertaining, so I'm not too fussed. Like it's kind of meant to be, yeah, like a mess, and it's kind of, there's a mix of a lot of different time periods and places in there, which I think kind of adds to it, hopefully.
Yeah, it gives it some this across time feel. So I can definitely see this. It definitely sounds like the type of setting where it's a bunch of guys with cogs glued to their hats and stuff, you know.
there are no firearms or anything in the rule book, so like, you know, it's but you could easily like insert it in and play it in modern day or earlier. Or I mean, it said there's someone in the Kickstarter comments that were like, hey, if you were did you read that, Luke, where they're like, if you're wondering that if the cyborg like job like builder works on this game, the answer is yes or something.
That's cool, like, as fuck. I didn't see that. Yeah. That's tight.
so somebody's already like looking at like the job creator thing and it's like a process in Cyborg.
That's cool. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Have you got yet, or do you expect to get those people that's like, well, actually, like, this wouldn't exist in this time period, like, kind of thing? Or is it just going to be like, it's fun, fuck, like, what, it, like...
Yeah, you know, do you have potatoes in your games? If so, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah,
you know, people, they'll pick and choose the things to be, oh, that's not very setting. Shut up, who cares? Like, if you want to run something that's like super on point historically, go for it, have fun, but I don't complain because someone else isn't, you know. Like, yeah. I look forward to your Bronze Age authentic role-playing game, but until it comes out, I'll wait,
you know? I did see some guy saying that like the art didn't look 1860s or whatever, and I was like, yeah, okay,
because I made it in the 2020s, pal.
It's 2020. Yeah.
It's like, and it's yeah, and it's not real 1860s. It's like weird fantasy London medieval sort of, like,
yeah.
Why isn't this book hand printed in Latin, you know? Yeah. Really being time period, yeah. Correct.
Jeez.
Why can't any of us read it and not just the landed nobility, you know?
I think they were talking about like the clothing and like,
yeah,
the
whatever.
Well, listen, yeah. At least we know you ruined one person's immersion. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there we go. Yeah. That's perfect. So
I kind of pull like things from different, you know, like I was looking at medieval costuming and Victorian costuming and French and British or whatever, like old medieval English stuff, and just kind of picking and choosing elements that I liked from all that and like, making the,
I feel like that's an interesting setting though. Like that's I think the luxury of what we all take part in this is that we don't have to stay very honest or truthful to any time period. We can do whatever works for whatever we're doing.
Well, I mean, if the writing is anachronistic, like there's no reason the art wouldn't be anachronistic. It makes it like it pairs correctly. Like if the writing was like had all these anachronistic bits, but then you did like every piece of art like exactly specifically to like one time period, that would be in and of itself like a much deeper of an anachronism that would make it not make sense. But the fact that like it all fits because it's all kind of like a mix is exactly why it all fits. So,
and it's like finding a balance. Like if you sort of anchor yourself into a certain time period, there are going to be like aesthetic choices that look cool and things that just don't look cool. And then you want to, you know, like I don't really like a lot of like Magic the Gathering or like modern day like art, like especially when you see like armor and stuff like that, like it just doesn't look right. It looks too like it looks too crazy. I don't know, like, because that's kind of a weird thing to say, because I do like crazy ass armor. Like, I don't know. It looks too,
heroic. I think it's ornamental rather than crazy.
Yeah. Or like pieces that just don't look right, or they don't
non-functioning. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, it's kind of like trying to find that balance of making things look functional, but like stylish and fun. That something that I try to do like in a lot of my, I think a lot of my stuff.
Yeah, totally makes sense. So forward looking for Swivers, Kickstarter is going right now. Y'all are at, I just clicked away, but I think like 77,000 and I looked at it USD.
61,000 pounds. Yeah, on that. That's
a lot. Yeah.
We're at not enough and we need everybody to buy more.
Yeah, there everyone get on this left. Right now. We're scared they're not going to make, honestly.
Right.
Looking past like the release of Swivers, like, is this a system that you guys see yourself supporting with like more content in the future?
Definitely.
And I mean, so, like, any hints or any ideas you have about that?
So we're doing a thing where, like, if you backed in the first 48 hours, sorry everyone who hasn't backed already, but you had your chance. We're gonna put out like a little free one immediately, a little follow up adventure. Just here's like a place and a bunch of shit, and you can do all kinds of stuff with this, and here's some like ideas for that. Just as a little thank you for jumping on it straight away. Apart from that, so the big one is we're gonna release it under a license the same as Troika. Whereas like, as long as you don't pretend that we're best mates or something, do whatever you want. You know, just make shit for Swivers, please make stuff for Swivers. But beyond that, I definitely, we've not talked about it too much because Dan and Shiri are very busy running the Kickstarter, but there will definitely be follow-up stuff, because one thing like I've always talked about very publicly is like, don't just churn out systems, like support them. Mm. And like, Swivers is something that's very personal to me, as like, it's like the first like big system I wrote, and it's kind of the first bigger project they ever did, so it's like I want to make sure I support it. And there's so much shit in that book that could be expanded out. Like, I've had a few people say like, oh, is there gonna be more stuff about the Ratmen, because people really like the Ratmen. So me and Dan have been talking, because he's running another Swivers campaign soon, so he's like, well, like, you know, I can start working on a bunch of extra shit about Ratmen. Dan, because of the permissiveness of the setting, in a lot of ways you can get away with quite a lot of stuff. Like, if you want to get really hardcore and weird, go down into the underground, like the Midden and all that. If you want to do something a bit more grounded, you can just do like, oh, here's three crime bosses, they all hate each other, here's the districts, done. So even though like you could take the book and run the start adventure and just run a campaign based on that for like years probably, we still want to be supporting it with like, here's more stuff about rivers, here's stuff about going into the countryside, here's just a bunch of places to rob. Possibly looking at doing a prison, we'll see. As like a follow-up, that might be fun, because if you get caught, you get sent to prison rather than just get executed, and then you can try and break out of prison. That's always good fun.
Well, we all love a prison break.
Yeah, it's good times. Over the last year, we've had a lot, you know, when we talk to people, a lot more people are kind of shifting into that mindset of, if I make something and I love it, like the creator speaking for them, that they want to do more with that system as opposed to just turning out more and more systems. And that's, I mean, you know, that first of all, as you make more stuff, people will go back and buy the core book. Like, that's kind of the thing. And you really make your money on, you know, the second and third print. We all know that. We've heard this before. But also, it's just fun to have more stuff from the people that you love when they make stuff that you love. So like, it's nice to be able to get that support. So you said the first 48, they got an adventure, but other than those people, with 9 days left, when people go back Swivers on Kickstarter, we'll make sure the links are below, what can they actually get like from the Kickstarter, from the tiers?
You can get digital copy, physical copy. You can get, I believe it's a shilling, because The decision that nobody pushed back against, everyone should have done, it uses British old money. So rather than like a sensible decimal system, we're using the old pound, shilling and pence. So it's like 12. No, let me get this right. It's 20 shillings to the... No. Yeah, 12 shillings to the pound, 20 pence to the shilling. Because it's awful. And it sucks. And it's really funny that we use this for hundreds of years as an actual monetary system. So you
and
can
now
get
we all have to do it.
Yeah, now everyone else has to. it's very British, you know, we're exporting our awfulness. So you get a shilling. You can get a t-shirt which has David's great art on it and says Swivers. And there's the kind of one-off print of the fancy edition with like gold foil and buckram is what it's called, the paper they're using on the cover. So it will be sick as fuck, hopefully. I'm sure it will be. No ribbons, though. We didn't make a millie, so Dan Sell's not putting a ribbon in it.
Oh, man.
Good.
Gotta put a ribbon. Yeah.
Dan's hate ribbons is so fucking funny, man.
Why does he hate ribbons? Is it just like a production thing, or is it just like he generally on his own hates ribbons?
I think it's because a lot of people put them as like a stretch goal, and like they're cheap as fuck to add to the book. Like they raise the production value by like the production cost by like pennies on the pound or something like that. So it's like, why is this a stretch goal? It's nothing. The ribbon costs almost nothing. So it's like I think it's a joke for him to set the ribbon as the highest possible tier.
I mean, I love the joke, but I would also love ribbons. So let's
probably add
it
yourself. Glue gun.
They just glue the thing in, and then you just have one. So that's nice.
Jobs are good. Yeah.
Scrap paper, man. Use an old receipt. Just shove it in there.
It's like, oh, it's cold corners. I'm an animal.
Yeah.
Monster. Oh my god. Monster. Yeah. I can't. I have this whole like crusade I'm on right now to teach people how to break in their paperback books so that they don't crease the bindings. I can't.
Just draw on it. Just, you know, it's like, oh, I've highlighted it, but drawing on it, and I've got some book darts and shit in there. It's great.
So I'm definitely the person where, like, if I buy, like, there's books out there where they're like, write in the book because this is like an object when you're done. I buy two so that I don't have to write in one. So here's how bad I am. I bought two Mouse Hunter box sets so that I could not punch out the little tokens in one of them and actually play with another one. I'm not kidding. Like I have two of the Mouse Hunter fucking box sets just so I don't have to punch one out.
I used to do stuff like that because I was like, this might be worth something because I come from like a comic book collect and record collecting like sort of compulsion. And then I had to move and I've got all this stuff and I was like, all right, like, so now I got to sell this stuff because I don't want to move it. And I'm like, I can't be bothered to sell this. Like, I can't be bothered to like, so I end up giving like a ton of shit away, which is always cool. Like people get free stuff and they get cool stuff, but I'm like, I didn't need that second copy of whatever that I was saving because I just ended up like getting rid of it anyway. Like just, I can't be bothered to eat. Going to the post office, like who wants to do that? Like I don't want to mail you anything. Like so yeah. Don't stop. I mean,
I'll if I ever have
unless
to move
it's something me and Luke do, just don't buy don't extra copies. But
yeah.
But you're gonna want the collector's stuff over here.
Yeah. If I could stop myself, trust me, I would. My paycheck would love it, like the 8 bookshelves I have would love it, it would be great. But I can't. So if people make stuff and it has a ribbon and a special edition, I'm usually, you know, up there in the top 10 backers. So for both of you, I know Hunter already asked about Swivers, obviously going to create more stuff for that, but are either of you currently working on, like, what's the next thing for Luke Gearing and David Hoskins coming after this campaign?
I can't see past Swivers at the moment, so it's going to be all Luke.
Reasonable.
Yeah, so I don't know, because in January, 1st of January, I quit my day job. So now I work for Tuesday night full time. So
congrats.
I don't think I'm allowed. Thank you. But I don't think I'm allowed to say anything about what I'm doing there. The big one is hopefully Wolves box set later this year. I'm just leaning in like, what? Cool. I'm gonna try and keep it below 3 digits for the price. We'll see how that goes. But I'm
thank you
doing it. Yeah, I'm trying. I don't know if I'll succeed. I'm trying. So I'm buying up the art piece by piece, taking it nice and slow, making sure that it's all there. So we're looking at one piece of art for each one of the kind of PDFs, has its own art, big art on the front of the box. Going to print it all locally, because why do things the easy way when I can do it the hardest, most expensive way for every single choice? So hopefully we'll be doing the pre-order for that at the towards the end of this year is the hope.
Stoked. This is my current copy of Wolves.
Oh, fuck nice. Yeah. Whoa, hell yeah. Awesome. Look at that binder.
Yep. I mean, got a binder and everything, man.
So many hexes.
Yeah, so many hexes.
Well, I mean, hexes. Basically created an entire new crowdfunding style with Wolves Upon the Coast. There's literally like a, I don't want to call it whatsy, but like, style of crowdfunding on itch with like the, I know slow funding existed, but this kind of like slow funding, but like increase the cost as like the content increases thing. I know that Christian Sorrell, Mikael's on the chat, I know that they're doing that with and some other ones are doing that as well.
It's cool.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah,
well, yeah, I'm really happy to see people doing it. Like, I think, because like Kickstarter, you know, don't get me wrong, Kickstarter is great, but also like you're not building anything for yourself. You're kind of just building stuff for Kickstarter at the same time. But like, I get it. You know, you got to put money, you got to get the money, you get paid. But yeah, it's cool. Really cool to see more people doing it, because I think it is. The more people do it, the more effective it becomes. The more people follow through, deliver on everything, the more people will be like, oh, cool, yeah, I'll give it a go. Like, the only big thing is just set your price at a reason. Like, I set it way too low. $5 was way too low to start. And I should have smaller increments as a result. But I think it's a cool model. Like, I'm really glad to see people following it, because I was worried that it's like, maybe this just works for me. I don't want someone else to follow it and then be like, oh, fuck, I've made like £2.50. So I'm glad that other people have tried it and it's worked for them. So I think it's got legs. It's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, especially for people that, you know, don't want to deal with Kickstarter or want the, like, that work slow and are able to, like, put stuff out at their time, at their pace, fund it as they go, stop when they want to, continue when they don't, and then get to it. Yeah. So, Wolves Upon the Coast, Swivers, Fever Swamp, all that stuff. Like, where can people find... first, Luke, like where if when people go out and find all the stuff that, from Luke Gearing, where is the best place they can look for all that stuff?
So if you go lukegearing.blot.im, there's like a published works thing at the top, which I think is fully up to date, and that's got links to where you can buy all the shit, various places. If you are also cursed, I'm still on Twitter for now. We'll see how long that lasts. Those are the big two. Try to think if there's anything. Those are the big two. And there's a mailing list, but I'm changing providers, so
converting it
check
over.
Check it a bit. Yeah, because fucking Tiny Letter's closing because MailChimp fucks. So we'll see how the new one goes, and if not, I'll be bouncing around for a while. So I wouldn't say where yet, because it's shit.
And David, same thing. Where can people find your art, find you, and more of that?
You can find me online at just basically at David Hoskins on most things. But I find it very tiring. So I don't do much and I don't engage much on social media. But DavidHoskinsArt@gmail.com if you want to like get in touch with me about anything in particular. That's about it. Like, yeah, I post art on Instagram and, yeah, that's about it. Yeah, I'm pretty much like just booked up with Swivers and then day job stuff with Exalted. So
that's it. There you go. Hey, listen, seriously, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Swivers is fantastic. Again, as we said at the top, you are two of our favorite people in the fields that you're in, like from art and writing, just huge absolutely fans. Incredible.
Thank you, like, guys so much.
No, thank you, man. Thank you for having us on. Really glad we could work.
Yeah, really, really appreciate it. Obviously, if you guys ever do anything in the future or ever want to talk again, please just shoot me an email or a message and we will have you back on in a heartbeat. We'll make time and we'll figure it out. But seriously, it's the half the reason we do the podcast and actually talk to people is to get the opportunity to talk to people like you guys. So again, thank you so much.
Not all. Again, thank you very much for having us on, man. Really do.
I don't get out and do anything anymore, so it's always good to talk to people. Like, talk to people that I want to talk to as well. It's super nice. Like, I need to do more things. I guess it's like convention season's coming up, so like I will be at GaryCon. If anyone's going to be at GaryCon, I'll be there. So
there you go.
There you go.
Cool. All right. So everyone, please go back, Swivers. We will make sure all the links to all of that are anywhere that you are watching or listening to this. There is 9 days left. I'll make sure this gets out tomorrow. So if you're listening, there will probably be 8 days left. Go back it. Get us to 1 million. Let's get that ribbon from Daniel, and we'll get it sorted. But that is going to be us for today. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you all later. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers, all.